All right, good morning. We're going to start our media availabilities here at Talladega Speedway. We're joined by Darrell Wallace Jr., driver of the number 43 Petty's Garage Medallion Bank Chevrolet. Darrell, you've got two top 10 finishes, including your second place at Daytona. Mm-hmm. You went up, led laps at Bristol. Talk about what it would mean for you to give Richard Petty Motorsports their fifth win here at Talladega Super Speedway.
Yeah, it'd mean a lot.
Sunday.
Yeah, it would mean a lot, you know, for sure. I think we're hitting on a lot of good things right now. We're still showing signs of inconsistency, which is what comes with being a rookie in the Cup level. So excited about our progression throughout the year. I feel like we're getting stronger and stronger. And you know, Drew and I had talked about it right there last week in Richmond. We're a much better team after that first break that we had on Easter Sunday. So we definitely needed that to regroup and come back with a different game plan and showing. So Richmond was kind of a head scratcher for us, but we're here focused on Talladega. Hoping we have the same result, just one spot better than Daytona. So it's good to have Petty's Garage and Medallion Bank on our Chevrolet Camaro 01. I've always loved coming here to Talladega. Never had the best finishes, but I was talking yesterday. It's really fun when you really sit back and digest what we're actually doing. You know, driving 3 and 4 wide, 200 miles an hour. You get a little taste of it today in practice. So it's always a good time until the big one happens.
Darrell, we know you're from Alabama. What kind of stresses do you have with family and friends and making your first start or Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series start here?
Yeah, not much. I just have my uncle and aunt and uncle still live down here. Actually, my uncle's coming up with about 100 plus pounds of crawfish, so that'll be good to eat for tomorrow. Won't be pretty good for Sunday, we'll see. But I'm excited about that, excited to have family up here for a little bit. But they've tried to make every Talladega trip that they can. It's right in their backyard, so it's good to for this to be my home track, if you say. It's really tough to kind of grasp onto that because, you know, I moved away from Mobile when I was 2, and I don't really remember much at all. But, you know, that's what it says on the birth certificate, and it's good to, you know, have those ties and have those roots here.
All right, we'll open up the floor to questions. We have a mic floating around. Can we start right here in front with Holly, please?
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good.
Holly Kane, the NASCAR Wire Service. I wondered if you could speak a little bit. Do you show up here feeling a little more enthusiastic because of how well you ran at Daytona? Or do you just, it's just two totally different things? Or does that give you a little bit of extra confidence?
I wish I could say it does, but, I mean, hell, we missed, what, 4 wrecks there in Daytona? Good graces are on our side. Hopefully we still have some of that good graces on our side for this race this weekend. But you just never know what's going to happen. And that's the really bad, not fun thing about super speedway racing. Everything else is fun. But when you're just sitting there riding along and next thing you know, you're head on in the fence, you're like, well, I don't say sorry because I didn't do anything. I was here. I was gathered up. So that's just the only thing. When it's not in your control, you just feel the worst and you just feel helpless. And but you know, I'm excited. I'm pumped up. We're selling our Daytona 500 car, which was really good. It finished second, and we decided to sell it. That's I don't know, beyond me.
We'll go to the back to Jerry Jordan.
I like stressing out Dennison over here.
Jerry Jordan, Kicking Tires, setting that in PRN.
Yeah.
Do you expect chaos, or did you expect the chaos that you saw at Daytona? You know, you said you dodged 4 mm-hmm. big wrecks. Mm-hmm. Do you expect the same type of racing here, or you think you can maneuver your way through the field and get back up to the front?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you see, you're not safe anywhere. Look at Daytona. Wrecks happen at the front, the middle, and the back. And we were just, you know, Freddie up top made good calls on where to go, guided me through the wrecks, and that helped out a lot. But I mean, it's really hard to say. It's just you're just trying to bide time, and people just get anxious, and you know, ready to jump the gun way too early, and that's when things happen. So I mean, don't get me wrong, I mean, I might sound like I'm downplaying it bad, but I'm excited to get back in the race car and go back at it again. Just from the experience that we had at Daytona does bring a little bit of confidence. I'm just trying to remember what in the heck I did. I don't know, I was just out there cruising.
We'll come up front to Bob and then back to Kenny, I mean, to Zach and then to Dustin Long.
Bob Pockris, ESPN. Kind of along those lines, does second place in Daytona maybe help bring some kind of positive vibe to you? Because I remember this place may be the place where you had your hardest hit.
Yeah, I think it was in the truck series. I mean, I'm trying not to repeat myself, but yeah, I mean, you look at Daytona, you can't really expect it to go according to as smooth as that went, although that wasn't smooth at all. I was telling local media yesterday, like I was watching races on Instagram, little clips would pop up. Some races would have 10 cars at the finish, you know, back to the two car tandem draft. That race there, and then there was a race with all 40 cars that were there at the finish too. So you don't know what you're going to get. You don't know who's going to play nice, who's going to, you know, rough up some feathers and go from there. But I don't know. I'm just keeping an open mind about it and ready to get on track.
Yeah, Zach Albert, NASCAR.com. Tomorrow's Xfinity race, you're going to be making your debut as part of the Drivers Only broadcast. Any special preparations, and is the world ready for Bubba Wallace, pit reporter?
Oh, yeah, we'll be well prepped up after the big one tonight on the Boulevard. Be well prepped. Looking forward to that. No, I'm excited. Huge shout out to those guys for allowing me to be a part of it. I was racing at Pocono when they did it last year, and I didn't even go back and watch the broadcast or that race to see how it really went. But I'm going to mess up so bad. Probably call the wrong driver, wrong car number. Might even cuss or two. I don't know. Hell, damn, shit, I don't know.
Come down to Dustin Long.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. Daryl, Ryan Blaney was talking the other day just about the big runs that took place in the Daytona 500. Obviously, that was the first race with the no ride height rule.
Yeah.
At Daytona, in essence, you guys had essentially a week or several, you know, a number of days to kind of get a little bit adjusted to it, and still created some issues in the 500. Mm-hmm. You haven't been nobody's been racing like that for a few months. Now you come back here, you've got limited practice. What kind of an adjustment is that for the drivers? Because I guess the assumption still that the big runs are going to be there with this package even here. What kind of a challenge is that for you guys, and problems can that present because you haven't been racing that every week just because of the schedule?
Yeah, now him and Ricky were the king at turning people, not even getting into them. You're just packing enough air on their left rear and cars will go around. So we'll see how big of a challenge that is. I know we've made some adjustments to our cars to hopefully make us a little bit better in that forefront. But it's tough to say, you know, with the rules package we got going, we're on edge the whole entire time. This is the most, Daytona just hanging on every move that you made. You were, you know, white knuckle just trying to complete the pass or complete the run or whatever you had going. So that's all I got there. Yeah, definitely. We're going to go out, get a little bit of drafting practice there and see. I mean, not necessarily pack too much air in the left rear because we know what happens, but just see what our car does. This is a new car for us, and, we were a really good push car at Daytona, and a lot of people said that throughout the garage. So we'll see if we have those same characteristics or if we're better out front this time. So we'll see. It'd be nice to just be out front the whole time.
We'll go back to Caleb, then we'll come up to Woody Kane and wrap up with Pat.
Caleb Whistler, Kicking the Tires.net. As we enter into the second quarter of the season, how have you seen yourself grow as a Cup driver? How have you seen the team grow? And what are some of the challenges that you guys are wanting to fix going into the second quarter?
Yeah, to tell you, it's such a busy schedule. My hair keeps growing every damn day, and I don't have enough time to cut it. My beard gets longer, and I get uglier. So there's my progression. But as far as the team, We are. I think we're hitting on some things. We're also missing on some things as well. This is still all new to us, just for switching teams, manufacturers, the whole nine. But we've produced some really great runs. Look at Texas and Bristol. I was excited about that. Got a lot of confidence. And then we come here, looking back at Daytona, what we did coming here to Talladega, another speedway race for us. Excited about that. So then coming up is Dover, my favorite racetrack on the schedule. Charlotte, Kansas. So we got a lot of exciting things coming. So I think we'll be good. We'll be ready to hit on all cylinders there. But at the same time, we're still learning and growing as a team.
Woody Kane with MRN. I'm glad you mentioned Dover. That's where I wanted to ask you about. Can you describe the feeling of a lap there, like when the ground falls out from under you? You mentioned it's your favorite track, yeah. And you're grinning ear to ear now.
Yeah, I just thinking about it. I told Drew, I'm like, man, I want to qualify on the pole there. Obviously, I want to win the race, but that would be all the series that I've been in, I've started on the pole. So I thought that'd be pretty cool. But ear haul in the mail there. I remember, walking across the bridge while cup practice is going on, and just, you can't really see much because they're so loud through that little walkway there, and they're so fast coming out of turn two. So I'm excited to get to experience it and dive off into turn one and get to feel that roller coaster effect, to see just how badass it is. So I'm excited to get there. Yeah.
All right, we'll wrap up with Pat.
Pat DeCola, NASCAR.com. Talking about the drivers only broadcast again, do you expect to find anything of value seeing the race from a different angle that you'll be able to take into Sunday, or is it just a completely different experience?
Yeah, it lets me know if this racing thing don't work out, I might have a shot at TV. So this is my debut. This is my tryout session, to keep it back in the memory bank to see if I actually can do it. But it's going to be a good time regardless. Myself, Blaney, and Eric on pit road. It's going to be fun. But definitely going to watch some broadcast tonight, and see what I can pick up on, because I think what we're covering, like 8 to 12 cars or something. Jesus Christ. So that's going to be kind of tough, but it's going to be a challenge. It's going to be fun. So it'll be interesting to see. Definitely listen to my part, because some mess ups are going to happen.
All right, Daryl, well, thank you for your time. Good luck in Sunday's Geico 500.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.